All right. What a morning we had. Do you agree? Wasn't it a blessing this morning? I was fired up. Mainly because what Brother Billy was saying was true, that power that Christ had when he was here on this earth to heal people. That is the same power that is at work in our lives. And we need that, don't we? Especially when we're talking about what we have been talking about on Sunday nights. When we look at these statements or these concepts that Jesus sets forth for us as Christ followers. The first night we looked at how we are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. And last week we looked at loving our enemies and we discussed how difficult that is. And in line with that, tonight we're going to be talking about forgiveness. Looking at maybe a familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 18, if you'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles there, verses 21 through 35, where Jesus kind of breaks down the idea of forgiveness and how completely we are to forgive one another. But before we get there, I wanted to share with you an update. I guess maybe not necessarily an update, but just a following post. This morning on the prayer chain, I copied and pasted what Joe Reagan, the missionary, the IMB missionary to Ukraine, what he had put on his Impact Eastern Ukraine Facebook page about his uncertainty with what is happening in his life in reference to his health. Many of you, maybe you might remember before Kelvin and I and Joe Pearson and Alan Johnston went to Ukraine over the Christmas break and over New Year's, Joe had some tests done, and one test that came back that showed some spots on his pancreas. And then he had another follow-up, and then there was nothing. And so there was, you can imagine his relief in hearing that news, but he's been having some health problems since then, and he's had some other tests done, and the spots have shown up once again. And if you've seen the prayer chain email, you understand that he's coming back to the States. So please be in prayer for him. And when we're talking about this morning, I guess that's kind of what got me excited this morning when Brother Billy was talking about the power of God to heal people. My thoughts went to Joe this morning because he could certainly, I'm not saying that no one else could, but he could certainly use the hand of God in his life in this moment for God to heal him and to take this this uncertainty, first of all, away. But also, what a testimony it would be, not only to those of us who know Joe and who are praying for him and who are connected to his ministry, but for the Ukrainians to whom he ministers. What a testimony of God's power and his work in Joe's life. But I just wanted to share with you, he says, I love my Nipper church. They blessed me tonight. I shared with them about my return to America. Then the pastor, along with my colleague Ross and our deacon, they anointed me and they prayed over me. After the service, I usually give four or five grandmas a ride home. They promised to fast and pray for me while I seek answers. God's church being the church. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a wonderful thing about being in a community of believers when we have needs and we share it to one another, how we commit to pray for one another. You know, the Scripture tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens, correct? Not just physical burdens, but any emotional or even spiritual burdens. So isn't it a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God? Amen? Amen. And now tonight, this is some of us may consider this idea of forgiveness to be a burden, right? And it is a wonderful thing to know that when we struggle in forgiving one another or someone, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a classmate, that we can go to someone that we trust and that we love, and we can share that, and they can say, okay, I would love to pray for you because I know this is what God calls you to do in this relationship is forgiveness, and I know it's hard for you. It's been hard for me in the past. And so I know what you're going through. Let's pray together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing, I think. I'm saying wonderful a lot because it is. Either we believe this relationship with God is a wonderful thing or we don't. All right, let's read this passage of Scripture and talk about forgiveness and pray for the power of God working in our lives so that we can extend forgiveness to those around us. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus said to him, but 70 times seven. Now, some translations say 77 times. The math there is irrelevant, okay? We'll get to that in just a moment. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the slave fell face down before him and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of that slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, Pay what you owe. At this, his fellow slave fell down and began begging him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other slaves saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay everything that was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. Very extensive, I guess, when we have a question with God, of God on certain ideas and concepts that in His Word, this is one of those things where Jesus takes great detail to help us understand what is meant by forgiveness and how many times we are to forgive. I think many of us would agree that it would be much easier for us if we had a directive, okay, this many times. And Peter, obviously, he was concerned about forgiveness. We'll get to that in just a moment about what that idea was in the first century. But let's talk through some of this, of what some researchers, some psychologists have found in the area of forgiveness. They have found that people who do forgive report an improved quality of relationships and a higher commitment to relationships than those who refuse to forgive. One study showed that forgiveness happens when our desires change so that we actually want to forgive. Another study reported by Psychological Science showed that a pattern of unforgiveness over time can what? Result in poorer health. And you've got to think about that for a moment. Why would that result in poorer health? When we think about forgiveness and not offering forgiveness to people, what do you think we harbor in our hearts? What's that? Hatred. And we talked about that this morning, didn't we? In our Explore the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2. Steve, you said your class spent nearly the whole time on verse 1, right? And all those five things that Peter said, get rid of this, right? And the very first thing was malice, right? Hatred. We've got to understand that when we do not offer forgiveness to someone, we do harbor that malice in our hearts, that hatred in our hearts, that bitterness in our hearts. And I will tell you that when I do not offer forgiveness, I am a sorry sort to be around, for one. Two, my health. I can actually detect, experience a change in my health when I harbor that bitterness in my heart. I feel worse. So it took a study to help us understand that we have poor health when we don't forgive people. So how can we become those who want to forgive? How do we experience that transformation of our desires so that we no longer want to hurt or exclude those who wrong us, but forgive them instead? How can we achieve the necessary change in our natural instinct for revenge and hatred that is required for us to forgive without harboring a grudge? Is it by sheer determination? Can we just, as an act of the will, can we say this? Now, we can attempt this, correct? I don't know if you've ever attempted to forgive someone in your own strength, but for me, and what we're going to talk about this a little bit later, what forgiveness looks like, and maybe even what it's not, okay? We usually operate with the idea that we should forgive and forget, correct? I mean, isn't that what you should forgive and forget? Forgetting's hard, isn't it? Forgetting is very hard. I want to talk about how maybe forgiveness and forgetfulness may be unrelated. I mean, think about this for a moment. Does God remember everything? He doesn't remember everything. All right? Because he says, I remember your sins no more. All right? There's a transaction that takes place. But what if instead of God saying, I don't remember it, he says, I choose not to recall it? Let's pose that question tonight, okay? In the remembrance. Because I think when we look at forgiveness, it's not about forgetting. It's about when that offense has been brought up and we have already offered forgiveness to that person, that we can say to Satan, I've already forgiven that person. It no longer has a hold of me. And just because you brought it to my memory doesn't mean it has any control of my life whatsoever. Does that make sense? Let's think about, ponder that for a moment tonight as we walk through this. Jesus calls us to a forgiveness that knows no bounds and extends to the cruelest oppressor. His view of forgiveness is not dependent upon whether the person is sorry or whether they have tried to change their ways. Jesus' version of forgiveness is resilient, it's strong, it's supernaturally powerful, and it's far more compelling and attractive than ours. Aren't you glad? I think you are, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. Aren't you glad that there is no limit to the forgiveness that God extends toward us? No matter what we do, this idea of forgiveness really sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. Because this idea of forgiveness is also linked to this wonderful concept of grace, which you see not in any other religion. Grace upon grace is what God pours on our lives in the area of forgiveness. And I, for one, am glad that there is no limit to it. But the question many times that is in our minds is much like Peter. How many times should we offer forgiveness? Jesus answered to Peter, it radically changed the first century perspective. Many of you already know this, but this is a good reminder to us that in first century perspective, a person was required only to forgive someone three times. You cancel out the sin three times, and after the third time, you don't have to forgive anymore. So you can imagine Peter when he comes to Jesus and he asks this question, and he's like, I'm going to go above and beyond, right? I'm going to say seven times, because that's not only twice as much, that's twice as much plus one. I'm going way far and above what is required of me in this moment, but I really do want to know. Because obviously for Peter, the question was, is that enough? Or why would he ask that question? First century understanding was three times you cancel the sin. And maybe it was because Peter was so outspoken of himself. And how many times do we see in Scripture that Peter places his foot in his mouth. Right? I mean, fair enough. I mean, Peter's maybe, he's like, ah, I've messed up a lot. I mean, I think I need more forgiveness. I'm hoping that someone has forgiven me more than three times and just hasn't written my life off. Think about this. How many times did Peter deny Christ? First century perspective, it was what? Three times you can cancel the sin and then you don't have to offer forgiveness anymore? That's interesting, isn't it? I think God was trying to tell Peter something there. That even beyond that, even though you deny me three times, and in first century perspective, that's all that I have, that's all I have to do is forgive you for those three things, now you're on your own. He's trying to tell him that forgiveness is unlimited with God. So here, as I said earlier, Jesus says, in some translations it says 77 times, others, it says 70 times 7. So whichever you choose, 77 or 490, if you're overly generous in your life, 490 times, and then you're done, right? No, what was Jesus trying to help them understand? What's that? There's no upper limit, right? You can't, yeah, I mean, can you imagine that? All right, for Vicky, I'm looking at you right now. I have a list, all right, and on my list I have 490 spots, and just so you know,
I made it, didn't I?
you're not quite there yet, but be sure that once you reach that point, I'm going to let you know. Can you imagine if we operated like that in our relationships? Especially with a first century perspective, that only three times I cancel your sin, on that third time, I'm done with you. Right? Whew. How many relationships would we actually have with people after that? Honestly. Would we actually have a relationship? I mean, okay, Michelle would have already divorced me. Correct? I mean, one of the greatest opportunities for us to extend forgiveness is within the marriage relationship. And if we were to operate with the first century perspective, or even with Peter's perspective of seven, can you imagine of how many relationships that would be severed? And Jesus says there's no upper limit. Let me tell you a story to express what I'm talking about. And in this story, it is truly amazing, is it not? The forgiveness that is offered an individual and then the refusal of that individual to offer forgiveness to someone else. Jesus was telling Peter, and he's telling us tonight, that forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics, but a matter of the heart. A personal experience of grace will always produce more grace. We've got to remember that in our lives. Our own willingness to forgive is the surest indicator of our knowledge and experience of forgiveness. And I know y'all have heard this before, but it is a wonderful reminder to us. In the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, right? And then he talks about forgiveness within that. The only commentary that Jesus gives in that prayer is on forgiveness, on the matter of forgiveness, right? In Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And he tells us, I'm gonna flip back over there real quick, just so we can remind ourselves tonight. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Now, Jesus is not saying that our forgiveness is earned, because we understand, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, right? Forgiveness is not earned by our willingness to forgive others, but that we have not enjoyed God's unmerited forgiveness if we are unable or unwilling to respond in kind toward others. That's what we're talking about tonight. The question is, have you experienced forgiveness yourselves? Right? Because if you have truly enjoyed and experienced forgiveness in your life, then it should follow that you have the ability to forgive people. That's hard though, isn't it? That's hard. As human beings, many times we have no real sense of our own sin and deep darkness of our own hearts. We all choose to excuse, explain, condone, and reason away our own actions so that we don't feel such a need for forgiveness ourselves. But how can we enjoy God's lavish forgiveness if we don't think we need it? A reluctance to forgive someone reveals our self-preoccupied, self-righteous heart. That's a tough statement. Let me say it again. A reluctance to forgive someone reveals our self-preoccupied, self-righteous heart. We get angry about the wrongs done against us as if we ourselves are innocent of wrongdoing. We are always the victim. Are we always the victim? We do operate that way, don't we, in our lives? That it's always happening to us. Why does this always happen to me? And therefore, we understand, really, when it comes to this area of forgiveness, the struggle we have with self, don't we? Because many times, when it comes to forgiveness, we are preoccupied with our rights as individuals. But is that what the Christian life is all about? Our rights as individuals? Or did we not surrender our rights when we said, Lord? This is a tough one, isn't it? Are we feeling beat up? I feel like we have to pause for a moment, right? Like we did last week, because last week, loving our enemies, let's pause for a moment and remind ourselves. Remind ourselves of something maybe that we heard this morning, that in this area of forgiveness, that God would not call us to do this if He wasn't willing to give us the power to actually do it, right? This is a great expectation, is it not? It is a lofty expectation. In fact, by the world's standards, it is an unreasonable expectation. But if we believe the gospel, and we believe that we have the Holy Spirit working inside of us, then we understand that we have the power to do anything that God calls us to do, especially in the area of forgiveness, because I want to tell you tonight that the world needs to understand that there is a different concept of forgiveness than what is being shown outside the walls of this church. They need to see it so that they too might believe. It sets us apart, doesn't it? The gospel tells us that we have been forgiven so much more than we can begin to imagine. Do we really believe that our own personal sin against God is far more appalling and offensive than any sin anyone could ever commit against us? Do we believe that tonight? Because if we believe that tonight, then we can offer forgiveness to someone very easily because we understand our own sinfulness. Are we able to look at the ugly pride that is our own personal rebellion against God without excuse or attempt at justification? Forgiveness is only possible because God has both declared and demonstrated that sin is eternally significant. far from minimizing wrong, forgiveness names it for what it principally is, an act of treason against God that ultimately only He can deal with. Because sin matters, sin must be punished. God will deal with those who have hurt us, and He will do so in His own scrupulously wise and effective way. It is only as we have a true and tender sense of the magnitude of the gospel that we will find our hearts soft toward others. Refusing to forgive, holding a grudge, wallowing in bitterness are all indicators of a heart that is indifferent to the Savior who suffered and died for us. Did you hear that statement? That's a tough statement. But we got to call it for what it is, don't we? How do we embrace the freedom of forgiveness with hearts that continue to forgive others time and time again? We must go to God and the Father and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Ask Him to show you by His Spirit the reality of your sin so that you grieve and become brokenhearted over it. Then rejoice in the astounding truth that while you were stuck in weakness and powerless in sin, God reached down and He rescued you. He didn't wait until you got your act together, that you tried harder, that you smiled more, or you sinned less. Meditate deeply on the great kindness of your Savior. Then, having experienced this unbelievable grace, you'll be amazed at your desire and capacity and act in unbelievable grace toward others. That's the truth of it. That's the beauty of the gospel. It not only affects us, but it affects those around us because we now become this incredible conduit of the grace of God in people's lives, especially in the area of forgiveness. We're not talking about glazing over the sin. We're talking about recognizing for what it really is and saying, that doesn't matter anymore. Is it up to us to offer out judgment, to disperse judgment on people? No, it's not, is it? Because God is the just judge, correct? So He will do what He sees is necessary in His wise way. So we leave it up to Him. Does that mean we again, like we said last week, that we passively allow people to walk all over us and to treat us like we don't matter? No, that means that we offer forgiveness. Because we're called to do that. We can ask our kind and generous Father for sufficient grace to be who He calls and equips us to be as children. We can live in the light of the forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus. As the forgiven, we can be the forgivers. Since forgiveness is integral to our identity as beneficiaries of God's grace that comes to us in Christ. So in forgiving, we are being no more and no less than who we are. Isn't that amazing? So what is He saying here? He's saying you are actually living out the identity that you now have in Christ Jesus by forgiving people. Forgiveness is the means by which the Lord undoes all of Satan's doing. What a statement. Do you hear that? Can I read that again? Forgiveness is the means by which the Lord undoes all of Satan's doing. Imagine Satan's rage when he realizes that his despicable deeds have not achieved their desired effect. Hearts have not been hardened, lives have not been destroyed, and the Lord receives the glory. Isn't that the glory of it? When we offer forgiveness to people, we're saying, Satan, you are not going to have a say in my life. You are not going to control me any longer because I have said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And what He says goes in my life. And He has told me to forgive people. And when you bring it to my remembrance, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to remind you that the power of God is working in my life so that I can forget that maybe one day. I have canceled it out. Just as Christ has canceled my sin out, I have canceled that out in that person's life. And you are shamed because of it. We've got to understand what the gospel tells us about what Christ did on the cross. He tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that he put these authorities to shame when he went to the cross. Satan thought he was ending it all. But all he did was shame himself, because in Christ's sacrifice on the cross and his subsequent rising from the dead, he was shamed because the power of God was at work. And because it was at work then, it is at work now in our lives. People of God, we are called to forgive. Can you imagine what that will do to relationships that you have with people? I kind of got excited there for a moment, didn't I? I got to calm down a little bit. My heart is racing here. I want to see God at work. And in this area, right here, right, confession time. I kind of always have these, don't I? I had one last week. And y'all can be praying for me about this, all right? I am dealing with some unforgiveness in my heart. Over things that have happened by certain individuals. And it doesn't matter who they are. But the reality of it is, I understand the Word of God. I understand what He has told me in His Word, that when I harbor unforgiveness in my life, there are things in my life that I can't enjoy His forgiveness for. And I also know that when I harbor this unforgiveness in my life, it affects the relationships I have with other people that are unrelated to what has happened. Does that make sense? And as a minister of the gospel, I want to see the power of God work in my life. You know, this morning, as Brother Billy wanted us to, he asked us to write down, in this area of my life, I want to be well. That's the area I want to be well. I'm ready for God to move. I don't know about you. I'm ready for Him to move. And sometimes He's not able to do what He desires to do because of things that I harbor in my heart. Sometimes He's not able to do what He desires to do in your life because you harbor things in your heart. Maybe tonight, as we've talked about this, man, I wish Jesus hadn't said that. Maybe you've thought of an instance where forgiveness is needed. I encourage you. How did Paul say it sometimes? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. But I encourage you tonight, extend forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Because God has forgiven you. His grace has fallen upon you. Can you not do the same for someone else? He'll help you. Again, He wouldn't call us to do something that he had not already planned to empower us to be able to do it. Let the power of God work in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we have talked tonight about forgiveness, we've explored this idea, and we understand that you have forgiven us completely. That there is no upper limit to the forgiveness that you extend toward us. We are confronted with the idea that we must do the same for others. And so if we are continuing to confess, we acknowledge that that's difficult for us. However, we are encouraged because we realize that you can empower us to forgive. God, I pray that if we are harboring any unforgiveness in our hearts, that you would reveal that to us and that you would give us the ability to forgive that person, those individuals, whoever it might be. So Father, we want to be a conduit of your grace in the lives of those around us. But we need your help. Please do so, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.